Whether you need website hosting or domain registration, go where I go, where I host, robhasawebsite.com and postshowrecaps.com. That is Inclusive Host. Save 25% off of hosting packages when you use our link, inclusivehost.com/RHAP. That's inclusivehost.com/RHAP, or click the banner in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com for more information. Comedy live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a man who very infrequently has any difficulty with pitching a tent. Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. And it's so juvenile. Everybody, welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Sestrino here with you to talk about the fifth leg here in the Amazing Race 28. It was a night. It was like a Shades of a Cliffhanger with Sylvester Stallone tonight. A very exciting episode. I was literally biting my nails throughout most of it. Jessica Lees is here with us, our chief Amazing Race correspondent. Jessica, how are you?
You might even say I'm dynamite, Rob.
Dynamite. Boom. Boom goes the dynamite. Yes. Oh, Jess, how are you doing?
I'm great. I thought this was a really fun, really beautiful episode.
Beautiful episode. Yes. This was the night where I was glad I was watching it on the, you know, full screen and not like in a little window like I have in the past on watching these East Coast feeds. Yeah, really, really beautiful shots. Very death defying night on the Amazing Race. Lots of excitement, lots of stuff to break down, and looking forward to the a fun night tonight. And then Justin, what, like a 2 week Amazing Race vacation now?
Yeah, I guess apparently it's more important to watch college basketball.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that NCAA tournament has to take precedence over Amazing Race.
Sports ball.
Yeah. All right. So no Amazing Race till 2 weeks from tonight. So this is the last Amazing Race show here in March. I can't believe it.
No, darn. I'm going to have to go out on Friday nights.
Yeah. Last show until April 1st. And just, is there any possibility that that is a joke, that there will be some sort of joke episode on April 1st?
You know, they've never done it before. There's first time for everything.
All right. So we'll see. We'll see what the speculation is as we move along. So we are getting set. We should have an exit interview with Team Clever, one of Jess's teams from the Amazing Race Fantasy Draft.
I mean, I did predict they'd be the last female team standing.
And that they were. So we will talk about that and talk to them early next week. But a lot to do here tonight as we unpack leg number five, hashtag RHAP. Also, Scott St. Pierre's behind the scenes. We're reading your comments as well on our YouTube channel at robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. Jess, I feel like I've talked to you so much this week already.
I know. It's like, it's a good thing that we like each other as much as we do, because we might run out of things to talk about. And
Never. We are in sync. And just any problems with tonight's show? Anything you want to get off your chest about the Amazing Race?
I like that everybody on this show likes each other and doesn't dehumanize and bully each other.
Yes.
This is a warm and fuzzy show, even when they're out.
Nothing
to disavow.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this. And I thought this was a very exciting final act of the Amazing Race. You know, you have everything going on throughout the show for like 45 minutes. And then you just get to that point where you had Rooster Teeth and Team Clever and Sherry and Cole, all those teams just like standing up on the mountain and just like waiting for a gust of wind and who's going to go. And I really thought that was one of the more exciting Amazing Race finishes from these last couple of seasons.
Yeah, who would have thought that everybody standing in one place looking around would be as exciting as it was?
Yeah, because it was really like you had to, like, if you were going to go for it, you could potentially, if you didn't make it, you were going to lose a lot of time. So it was really a couple times you had like where it was Aaron who I think, I'm sorry, that it was Ashley who ended up going and then falling down, and then Sherry went for it and then she made it, and then it was just Ashley and Aaron up on top of the mountain. And then I really liked how they shot the final reveal of which team it was going to be, who was going to be in seventh and who was going to be eighth, because you had all of those teams that were down at the bottom of the hill and you saw it from their perspective where the person was paragliding down. and bless you, and
Thank you.
You didn't get to see who it was, and you were from that same sort of perspective as them. It's like, who is it? Is that my partner? I was like, who's eliminated? And then eventually you saw that it was Ashley, and ultimately it was going to be Team Clever that were eliminated.
Yeah, I thought that was really a lot of fun, and I always enjoy it when there is a roadblock like that and they cut to the teammate who's not doing the roadblock and let them kind of contribute a little color commentary. I think that works to great effect when they use it.
Yeah. So for Jocelyn and Aaron, ultimately, they are out. Jess, do you have a eulogy for them as an Amazing Race team?
You know, I liked them very much. I feel like they were capable of a lot. Didn't make a whole lot of mistakes up until this leg. And they were also, Aaron especially, was afraid of a lot of things, and she managed to make it work for her. And that's always the mark of a good team, is a team that can kind of confront those fears and get through them and not have it ruin their race.
Yeah, they had some issues tonight. They were falling down quite a bit on the mountain, and then they had the whole snafu with the mysterious bout of where's lunch? We need lunch, and they basically were going to be stealing somebody's lunch and trying to bring it up to the top of the mountain.
Aaron actually tweeted whose lunch that was.
Whose lunch was it? Phil's?
Yes.
Seriously?
Seriously. She says it was Phil's lunch.
Hmm. Is that canon?
It's Twitter, and Twitter on this season is canon.
Okay. All right. Well, we will ask about that in the exit interview. But ultimately, while that was sort of like a fun couple of minutes on the show, I don't think that ultimately was part of what cost them.
Yeah, no, I don't think that was. It seemed like it was more just the physicality of getting that paragliding thing down.
Yeah. How much of it do you think came down to the person that you were in the tandem paragliding apparatus with? Because I was thinking about it like, you know, there has to be a difference between you could have the top person and the worst person of the people there. And while the worst person, I'm sure, is like not a disaster, is not like if I was your tandem person on the paragliding, like I think that would be a big advantage, right?
Yeah, I think so. In fact, that's what Brody said. I think he kind of blamed his person.
Oh, where, on Twitter or on the show?
On the show. He was kind of, because he was so annoyed with himself that he let Corey pass him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that, you know, he felt like maybe if he'd had a better guide getting him off the ground, he might have done a better job.
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll see. It's a interesting question. I'm sure that there's like some basic level of competency for each of those people.
You would think.
Yeah.
You probably have to pass a test.
Yeah. I also wonder if you are a bigger person, like a Brody, is it harder to get off the ground also, as opposed to somebody who's like a Sherry?
Well, it's physics, Rob. I think the more important thing is getting momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Like that parachute is rated to pick you up, no matter what size you are. Those things, activities like that, have a weight limit on them.
Okay.
So at a certain point, you know, they're always going to be able to pick you up. And it's more a matter of like, how fast can you get it going? And like, how much air can you get underneath it before you get off the ground? I don't think it really has all that much to do with how much you weigh. I think the more important thing is your speed.
Have you ever done a parasailing?
I have not.
Okay. I would. For as much as I'm not a risk taker that I am, I feel like that's something that would be sort of like, there's no scary drop. It's sort of like at no point are you going at some like ridiculous speed. It seems like a very sort of like for a person risk averse as myself, I feel like that's something that's sort of like risky, but not too scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks a lot of fun. And I mean, you can't beat that view.
Yeah. It's a good view. All right. So, Jess, I feel like our big story that we followed throughout this season of The Amazing Race, at least through 5 episodes, is sort of this very interesting mano-a-mano or bros versus dudes matchup between two teams at the top of our fantasy team board. The battle between the Frisbee Bros and Tyler and Corey, which has really been I think a very fun, almost like a David and Goliath type matchup, where you have the team that you would expect physically to be dominating this amazing race. And then you have a team who, with all due respect, you would probably by looking at them, not expect them to be a dominant team in a given season of the Amazing Race. And they've really gone, you know, tit for tat back and forth here through five legs.
Would you say they've gone tip top toes?
Tip top toes back and forth, right? So it's been a fun, like where last season, where we talked about, oh, it was going to be the green team versus Team Texas. And that seemed like, you know, how competitive Justin was versus, you know, that Team Texas. Basically, they were the Dude Bros team of that season. You sort of saw that coming. But this has been a very fun battle between these two teams. And unlike last season, where we saw like animosity right out of the gate between Team Texas and the green team, it seems like this is a battle every single week for first place, seemingly. But we don't really see that sort of rivalry. Like, there's no sort of negative feelings between those two teams, which I think is fun also.
Yeah, all these teams genuinely like each other. And I think it shows that you don't necessarily, well, in order to have a rivalry.
I don't know if you listened to my exit interview this week.
Well, all of the teams left in the race seem to genuinely like each other.
Yeah. Did you happen to listen to that yet, John?
I did listen to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had an opportunity to speak with Brittany and Jessica this week, or so I thought. And it turned out to be just Brittany. On the call, no Jessica. Jessica was modeling in Russia, I was told, and Brittany was not too happy with these other teams, these women that did not help her and Jessica.
Yeah, well, you know, if they had helped, if somebody had thrown them a bone, like maybe helped them do the task, maybe done it for them, they probably would have done a lot better.
Yeah. And Brittany, if she goes back on the Amazing Race again, she will never help another team again. I said, I hope that Brittany, please don't be like this. Don't let this game change you.
Yeah. Well, I guess the Amazing Race has a profound effect on all of us.
The Amazing Race is supposed to be nice and good. Don't let that change.
Fun and good, Rob.
Fun and good. Sorry. So stupid. Okay. Anyway, Jess, I'm sorry to interrupt. So yes, yeah. All the teams do seem to like each other this season, which is what, look, hey, look, I like the conflict, and I've also disavowed bullying. So I do, this is refreshing to see all the teams get along with each other so much.
Yeah. And I think, like, especially, you know, last season, I didn't have a problem with any of the teams on the race, but it did get a little tiresome that everybody just kind of vilified each other. Like, if I'm not getting first place, it must be because the other people are bad. And this is more of a friendly rivalry. Mm-hmm. Like the Frisbee Bros and Tyler and Corey, they joke around with each other. They tease each other. They're very good natured about it. But at the end of the day, they want to beat each other. And then it's not like, I'm going to beat you. It's, I'm going to beat you, you know?
Now, do you think that part of that is from that, you know, all of these teams, and for the most part, everybody that's out there has had great success in some other field? So the idea of Amazing Race winner is not going to be like the ultimate feather in their cap. It's something fun and exciting that they're doing, but because it's not going to be the end of their world, and maybe, you know, it's not their one shot for fame and fortune, that do you feel like that taking that part of it out of it has led to more of the teams being all in good spirits the whole way through?
Yeah, maybe so. Like, you know, Tyler and Corey would like to be good at the race. They'd like to get the first places, but at the end of the day, if they don't win the race, you know, Tyler can go home and cry to his 8 million YouTube followers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it is kind of like they're doing it for fun. There's a lot less on the line. And I don't think anybody has this like big sob story of like they need it in their life for either psychological or financial reasons. They're doing it because they want the experience. And when everybody wants the experience, I think that makes a really great field of competition.
OK. Just one of the big things from the episode tonight was the decision that was made by Bernie and Ashley, the Rooster Teeth team, that there was on the detour, you had the opportunity, you could do either dynamite or campsite. And you had where really Bernie and Ashley were in fourth place, which is right around where they are almost every single leg of the race, right around third or fourth place. They decided to take a calculated risk. They said, nobody else is doing campsite. we should do campsite. And it's a gamble, but we could get to first if we do that and we're right. Jess, do you like that strategy for somebody who's in third or fourth place, or are you better off always staying with the pack?
I don't think they did enough calculating on that calculated risk. I think they needed to look a little bit more closely at what the tasks entailed, because there are definitely tasks where that makes a lot of sense. Like if they're both calling on skill sets and you have to do a certain number of things each way, that might make sense to take a gamble on the one other people aren't doing. But when it's the case of something that is a little bit scary versus something that is a lot more of a tedious, meticulous, detailed task, you want to do the scary one, because obviously the scary one's going to go much quicker. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a scary reason not to do it, then do the scary one.
Yeah, and it didn't seem like that was the case with Rooster Teeth, that either of them had some sort of a fear, a crippling fear of heights.
Right. Right. Even the people with the crippling fear of heights did the heights test.
Yeah. They took one look at that pitching the tent task and like, no, we'll go ahead and face our fear. But so when would you say that would be the right move? Would you say in a final leg or like a next to final leg? Would you advise at some point like later on in the race?
Well, I think it always depends on what the tasks are. Like the one I'm thinking of specifically was in season 21. We had almost everybody did one half of a detour, and Ryan and Abby see one where they have to stitch up a mattress and stuff it. They're a little bit far behind, so they decide they'll just go ahead and do the one that nobody else is doing. And it turns out it relies on some skills that they already have, and they get through it. Well, yeah. They get through it really quickly. They find a way to kind of hack the task, and they breezed through it and ended up heading out to the front of the pack. And that was a case where they just kind of examined the tasks and decided that, you know, all other things seem pretty equal. Let's go ahead and take that risk.
Yeah, for
me, can't make this any worse.
I think that risk, looking at it, is say you're in fourth place out of eight teams. I feel like just sticking with the pack, probably, you know, you're going to like maybe get to third, maybe fall back to fifth or sixth. But I feel like there's almost no chance that you're going to fall back all the way to the back of the pack and be eliminated. Whereas I feel like that going and doing the campsite challenge, I feel like that you have just as good of a chance of coming out and being the team that's in first place as you do as coming out and being the team that's in last place.
Yeah, but think of it in terms of like, in sort of a game theory terms.
Yes.
What are your options? Your options are, you go to this thing where you have like a 50% chance of either winning first place or getting eliminated. Mm-hmm. And you have this other task where you have a 100% chance of staying in like third, fourth, fifth place. Mm-hmm. There's not much on the line except like a Travelocity trip at this point. Like, ooh, you get a massage. Or you get eliminated. You know, and this is, you know, the only leg that really matters, like the only leg you have to get first place on, as we learned last season, is the very last one.
Right. You're injecting the possibility of the really bad outcome into a scenario where just staying the course, there probably was almost no chance that you were going to be eliminated. And Rooster Teeth survives this. I mean, definitely I can understand their thinking behind it, but I think that overall in the Amazing Race, that the upside of coming in first place, especially that there's so many equalizers on each leg, like the next leg of the Amazing Race could start with, okay, the teams will, you know, take a train, all get on the same train, and whatever sort of upside, even if you got up to second, that advantage is completely gone.
Yeah. Yeah, like you can't think about the next leg. You can't make your decisions, can't be influenced by what you think might be happening on the next leg, or by, you know, even just wanting the moral victory of a first place finish. It doesn't make any sense if your long term goal is to get that $1 million.
Yeah.
You got to take it one leg at a time.
Just drift off the pack, right?
Right. So, exactly.
Now, Bernie and Ashley also had the moment in the episode where I think it was Ashley dropped the clue that was up on the mountain. Is there any sort of precedent on that? Like, are there more clues up on the mountain than just the eight teams that are in the race, Jess?
Yeah, I think they do usually keep a lot of extra clues around for occasions such as this. And also, we've seen in the past, clue boxes have had two or three extra clues in them because people show up and they look in the box and they're like, oh, there's two more clues here. I must not be last. Oh, guess what? You know what? There's extra clues in there. You were, mm-hmm. you were in fact last.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jess, let's talk through the tasks from tonight's leg of the race. And we ended up with the teams having to start off, go up to Mount Blanc, and it was very important. They all had to take a loaf of French bread with them up to the top of the mountain.
Well, I think you do that every time you go hiking in France.
Is that true?
You can't go hiking without a loaf of French bread.
Okay. And so they ended up all having to go up in the cable car two at a time. Are you a skier, Jess?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a skier.
Yes. Have you skied in these Alps?
No, I've only ever skied in the U.S.
Okay. I am not a skier, Jess. Did you know that?
No way. No way.
I went one time. I went my high school senior trip. I went on a, they had a ski trip and I went there, but it was really like just an excuse for like all the high school kids, like to bring in beer and stuff like that.
Do you remember which mountain you went to?
Someplace in upstate New York. I don't remember where it was.
We do like, we used to go once or twice a year. And when I was a kid, I used to ski all the time. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I found out that when I interviewed John Montgomery this summer, we found out that when we were kids, we used to ski on the same mountain all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
we're about the same age. So I'm sure we were there at some point.
Yeah. And you could have been skiing right next to the host of the Amazing Race Canada.
I could have. That blows my mind.
So the teams had to go up and ending up zip lining to the clue. Just of all of the dangerous tasks that we've seen on the Amazing Race, how death defying was this on your scale?
This was not particularly death defying, although I would rank it a little bit higher than like this looked like this might be a setup that they don't necessarily have there all the time for tourists to do. Mm-hmm. Which ranks it as a little bit more dangerous than something where you go ziplining and you pay money and like 12 people that day are going ziplining with you.
Mm-hmm. I did think that this was pretty dangerous for these social media teams. Like, I feel like on a typical Amazing Race season, you know, you lose one of the teams. It's like, okay, nobody's going to miss half of these people, right? You know, but hey, like, you know, you lose some of these people. People are going to notice, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you would think. And it'd be all on camera, so you couldn't even like make something up.
It's going to look really bad.
Yeah, it'd be really bad.
Right.
I mean, it looked like there were a lot of safety protocols in place. Like, if you go ziplining on a traditional ziplining course, you're always hooked on to two different ropes by like two different carabiner systems at all times. In case one of those ropes fails, you have the other one. And it looked like in this case, they were hooked up to like three or four.
Yeah. So the teams, ultimately, they had to go in through and do the zip lining. Sherry also seemed to have a lot of problems. Both Sherry and Cole at different points in this episode had problems with the heights.
Yeah. Well, it looked like, see, this is the thing. I would never go on the Amazing Race with someone who was scared of all the same things I was.
Yeah.
That but Sherry, I have to give them so much credit.
But I felt like that Sherry like got over it after that.
Yeah,
after the ziplining thing. Like, then it was like Cole inherited her fear of heights.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You can be as afraid of things as you want, as long as you don't let it affect what you're doing on the race.
Yeah. And then also on top of that, we also had that it was Dana and Matt also. They were having some issues that Dana is a very afraid of heights. She was having a panic attack.
Yeah, and that looked to me like it was about half panic attack and half altitude sickness, because it seemed like a lot of people were having a lot of trouble with that altitude.
Why? What are some of the telltale signs of altitude sickness?
Shortness of breath is a big one.
Yes.
And dizziness, confusion, like I might make the case, I think Clever Girls were having a little altitude sickness problem at one point as well because of the way they were breathing.
Okay.
And 11,000 feet, that's not a joke.
Yeah. So we had the teams then having to then climb up to the top of this other point on Mount Blanc and then also like deliver dynamite and lunch. Now, luckily, Jess, none of the teams had an issue with the dynamite like my dear old friend Professor Arts had way back when.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to bring up Dr. Arts.
Yeah. Are the teams handling real dynamite, Jess? What's going on here? Is this prop dynamite?
It looked like real dynamite, but it looked like new dynamite, and it was well wrapped because, as we learned from watching Lost, it's the old dynamite that sweats that's a real big problem.
Right. So it still seems pretty dangerous to have these teams walking around with dynamite.
Yeah, I mean, if you mishandled it, it'd probably be pretty bad, but it looked like everybody was pretty safe with it. Okay. And I think the big concern is when you're handing off a baguette and the dynamite, you just don't want to confuse those two things.
Right. Accidentally, make a sandwich out of dynamite.
Yeah, that'd be really bad.
Yeah. So all the teams are doing this. Now, this seemed like this part of it was super dangerous to me, just like sort of like climbing on that mountain. I mean, you saw all the teams really starting to struggle with this, whether it was you saw Brody sliding around, even Tyler and Corey were having problems that Tyler couldn't see. His glasses were getting fogged up. You had the other teams just like bumping into each other and slipping.
Yeah, it looked to me a lot like I actually recently saw the movie Everest that came out last fall, and there's a big chunk of it that takes place on this face of Everest. This portion of it's called the Hillary Step, and it looked exactly like what these guys were climbing on, and it's the part where everybody died.
Wow.
So I would have a hard time with that just because I'd be having flashbacks to Everest.
Yeah, you couldn't pay me to watch that.
Yeah, I did not watch it in 3D, which was an option. I'm like, IMAX. I don't watch heights movies in 3D.
Yeah. All right. So all the teams eventually got to the paragliding challenge. And the Amazing Race loves to do a challenge where it's like, okay, you're going to be flying on something and then you have to find a thing and then answer a question about it. And I thought this was a very odd thing that the Amazing Race decided to have as the thing that you had to find. It was, as the Amazing Race described it, it was a Yeti waving a French flag. Now, Jess, I know you are an authority on all things paranormal. Was that a Yeti? That appeared to be more of a Sasquatch to me.
That looked like a guy in a gorilla suit. Like, I don't even think I don't think the guys on those like cryptozoology shows would be fooled by that guy.
Yeah. Cause isn't a Yeti like the abominable snowman? Idea of a Yeti? Every Yeti I've ever seen is white, like the monster in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's a Yeti.
Exactly. Like, that's my impression of a Yeti. It's like, you know, Sasquatch is to a grizzly bear as a Yeti is to a polar bear.
Right. That was like Harry from Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah. Harry was a Sasquatch.
Yeah.
See, I do know my cryptozoology.
So would you have called BS at that? Like, what I saw was a Sasquatch waving a French flag.
Well, see, what they should have done is like had several different paranormal creatures waving different national flags.
Oh, that's perfect.
And like you show up and it's like, well, I didn't see a Yeti waving a French flag, but I did see the Megalodon and he was holding the Belgian flag.
Right. I did see the Loch Ness monster with the flag of Portugal in his mouth. Is that?
Yeah, I saw the Chupacabra and he had the Mexican flag.
Yeah. So that's interesting. That would be a lot more confusing.
Yeah, I like this better. Bertram, call us. We got many ideas like this.
Yeah, so we'll throw out all sorts of different fictitious creatures. So ultimately, we ended up with the three teams at that top of the mountain with that paragliding task. And finally, it was going to be that we saw that the Rooster Teeth ended up being the team to beat out the Team Clever. At the finish line, were you surprised that somehow Rooster Teeth got ahead of Sherry and Cole?
Yeah, that was weird. I guess they must have been right on their heels.
I mean, it didn't seem like it.
No, it didn't. But, you know, clever editing, or maybe Sharon Cole couldn't find the statue.
That's possible. That's possible, because I mean, by the time Sherry and Cole get back together, I mean, Rooster Teeth isn't even in the picture.
No, it's true. We never see them in the same frame. So maybe there's a secret scene that explains that somehow.
Okay. Let's talk through the teams in order of finish and sort of just do a quick check in before we start to get to the questions. Tyler and Corey, back to number one. If you had to handicap this the rest of the way, Jess, who you got?
I think Tyler and Corey are looking really good. Like, they are just really smart racers, and they see their opportunities and they go for them. I really like their chances. Like, there's no way they're not making the finals.
Yeah, they're looking really good. I think that they had a little bit of the newscaster thing going on, a little bit of Kelsey and Joey action in this episode, where they kind of called their shot, where they're like, we're done being second. We're going to get back to first this leg.
Yeah, you know, the Kelsey and Joey look, not a great look on everybody, but they pulled it off. They got their first place, and they didn't have to wait till the last leg for it.
Kelsey and Joey?
Of course not. You know I love Kelsey and Joey.
Just want to make sure. I want to make sure we're on the same page on that.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. The word is, I have a low tolerance for throwing shade at Kelsey and Joey.
I would never throw shade at Kelsey and Joey.
Yeah. But they really called their shot. Also, we found out tonight that Corey dated a Yeti.
Yeah, well,
so I guess I think, he would be the authority as to whether that was a Yeti or a Sasquatch.
I think a lot of us experimented in college, Rob.
Yeah. Now, is a Yeti an older Sasquatch that's gone gray?
Maybe. Like, maybe.
It's like maybe a cougar versus a panther.
Like, you know how old people, you know, they retire and they move to Florida. Like, maybe when you're a Sasquatch, you retire and you move to the mountains.
Yeah, because that's, I guess, because like old people like move to Florida because it's warm. Sasquatch, they overheat. They want to move to someplace colder.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Then Tyler and Corey, they are number one. The Frisbee Bros. They are
Frisbee Bros.
Sitting at number two right now.
They've made one mistake. Like, that one mistake was like tripping in the snow today.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the kind of mistake that kills your race.
So tell me then, so you said that you feel like Tyler and Corey are number one. Why, tell me why you are more down on your Frisbee Bros.
My Frisbee Bros are kind of one note. Mm-hmm. Like, they're doing a great job. They're very athletic, obviously. They've been really dominant. They're very competitive. But I think if we had a challenge that was more cerebral, I think Tyler and Corey might have the edge. Like, I think they're a little bit quicker on the draw than the Frisbee Bros, who are not dumb. It's just that I think,
what if we have a Frisbee challenge?
If we had a Frisbee challenge, they would win. Clearly. Or they would mess it up colossally, and we'd be sitting here crying five hole.
So for the Frisbee Bros, in terms of where they're going to land, I have a much more important question.
Okay.
Jess, what happened to Bloaty?
I think it was a quick leg and there wasn't a lot of time for fraternization, but you could tell that Bloaty missed each other.
I felt like Phil was fishing a little bit for Bloaty, because when we got to that, it was shades of the Blind Date Amazing Race, where when we got to Scott and Blair, skipping a little ahead, who were fourth, you saw Phil on the mat saying like, so Blair, who's your favorite team on the race? She's like, I don't know. Who's your favorite team on the race? He's like, well, I can't say.
Well, you know, I was honestly surprised that Phil wasn't pushing that button harder, given how he was in the blind date season. Like, every time a blind date couple landed on the mat, he's like, so did you guys make out yet?
Yeah, okay, Phil. Yeah,
what's going on?
Phil is coming, like a real busybody.
Yeah, so I thought this was restrained on Phil's part, honestly.
All right. So this week we ended up seeing where Rooster Teeth fell back from their normal third place spot. We ended up with Dana and Matt moving into third place. I did think when they were on the mat, I felt like that Matt was like telling a whole story about how like, oh, I used to go, you know, I used to snowboard. I used to do this all the time. And I felt like Phil would seemed a little bored with that story. He seemed a little bit like,
Yeah, well, Phil's like, I know you guys did it. Who cares? You knew each other before. That's not interesting.
I thought Phil looked a little bored during that story.
Yeah, he was probably also cold.
All right. So then when we got to Scott and Blair, I felt like overall not a lot of screen time for Scott and Blair tonight.
No, I guess they were kind of quiet.
Yeah. When Blair did land, she did yell out to Scott, Daddy, I did it.
Yeah. I enjoyed the commentary. Like, well, that can't be Blair because we would have heard her.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 seconds later, Daddy.
Yeah. Boy, I hope it's not one and done for Bloaty.
Yeah, I hope not. That's not the impression I'm getting.
All right. Zach and Rachel, quiet week for the Final Cut King and Queen.
I find Zach and Rachel not the most interesting team in the cast.
You did call that from the preseason. You did say that's going to be the team that is going to be sort of just like in the middle of the pack, and then we're not going to see them a lot.
Yeah, I keep forgetting they're still in it.
Yeah.
And that's going to be happening for as long as they're in it.
Okay. Bernie and Ashley, was this the leg for them that everything goes wrong? Like, every team has that leg where they just they narrowly avoid elimination. Everything goes wrong. And then they just go next week. This was just sort of like an outlier. They're right back to, you know, second place, third place.
I mean, we've seen that happen to teams before. I think it's entirely possible that they learn from their experience. It puts the fear of God into them, and they come back and they go totally ham on the next episode.
Yeah, it's like the near-death experience. I think almost every team on The Amazing Race has that one leg where everything goes wrong.
Yeah, or at least they have a cut to commercial where they're like, oh no, our race is over. We cut to commercial, we come back. Oh, wait, no, I figured it out.
Yeah. And then finally, the team that's in last place right now is Sherry and Cole in seventh place coming out of tonight. Tell me, do you think that Sherry and Cole, do they have upside?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I was really impressed that they kept on going, even though this was clearly not their forte this week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I admired that ability. I admire their tenacity. And they both got through what was really... had to be really tough for both of them.
Yeah. Tough leg for Sherry and Cole, who spend a lot of time, I guess, on at sea level.
Evidently, like, there's not a lot of huge mountains in Alabama.
Yeah. All right. Jess, anything else about tonight's show before we take some questions?
Really, no. I think we covered the bases. Like, this was a really scenic leg, but it wasn't one that was full of a lot of, like, really... race making or breaking strategy decisions.
Yeah. A lot of time climbing, a lot of time paragliding, a lot of time doing the activities and looking at cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. This is mostly one of those things where someone on the crew was like, hey, I've never been to the Alps. Can we go to the Alps?
Is that how it works?
That's how it works.
Okay. All right. So then let's go ahead and take some of these questions. Why don't we start with the original Donald, who writes to us to say, why doesn't CBS air The Amazing Race on Wednesdays during the spring season? Okay, so what we do have now is March Madness coming up. These next two Fridays, CBS has the whole NCAA tournament they've had as long as I could ever remember. And it's basically all day Thursday, all day Friday. Survivors, when they moved from Thursday night to Wednesday night, they were able to avoid this, but it used to be a factor for Survivor. Survivor actually used to move their shows from Thursday night to Wednesday night way back when. For Amazing Race, though, they do not do that. We had the same thing last year. Jess, do you have any sort of issue with this? Do you feel like that you wish that The Amazing Race would move to a different night of the week?
No, I don't mind it. I really, Wednesday would be a very colossally bad time to have The Amazing Race on. Because
selfishly, that would be a bad night for me.
Selfishly, that would be terrible. I mean, the one time that it did happen, I was very luckily able to kind of do some fudging with my deadlines, and I was able to cover both shows, but I would like it to not be a habit.
Yeah. All right.
And one show.
This was a blindside to me, though, because I did not see this coming. I
didn't either.
Yeah. Totally forgot it, because I was wondering when they said that stay tuned for scenes from the second half of The Amazing Race. I was like, boy, what are they doing? Is it like a lousy episode next week? Is there nothing to show?
It's one of those this season on previews, and nobody likes those.
Yeah. Anything of note from the this season on Amazing Race?
To be honest, I wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah. I was more like, well, wait, hold on. March Madness? What is that? And then it looked like teams were falling down. Looks like a lot of falling down. All right.
Adam, this season on The Amazing Race, people fall down.
Always. Adam 555. Was tonight's leg wholly in Chamonix? Seems like they got the most out of the location.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked like they didn't really move a lot.
Yeah. They moved vertically. They didn't move north or south.
Laterally.
Right. All right. Laura Milano Gleek wants to know, are the teams being eliminated by order of popularity in social media? Yes, if we were going to rank the teams in order of popularity by social media, do you think that the way the four eliminations that we've had, do you think that that would be the case? No, I don't believe so, because I believe that Darius and Cameron are more than the second to least popular team.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think Clever does pretty well for itself. You know,
I think it probably started that way, but then I think then the pattern was very quickly thrown off after the second leg.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain production's not sitting there like, well, this is the week that this team goes out.
Right. So, you know, put the lousy hang glide instructor with Team Clever. We'll make sure, make sure that guy falls down. I don't think so. Okay.
No.
This is from Dominic X, who wants to know, when do you think the first U-turn is going to show up?
I think, didn't we already hear that one happened and we just didn't see it?
Oh, I feel like that. I don't recall that. I feel like that was maybe in Amazing Race 27.
Well, no, we saw all those.
Mm-hmm.
But I had heard something about there was one and we didn't see it. But yeah, I'm surprised we haven't seen one yet. But with this bunch of people, it's entirely possible they're giving them a U-turn every leg and they're all like, oh, I'm friends with everybody. I'm not U-turning anyone.
Yeah. Jess, will we see a medevac this season on The Amazing Race?
No, medevacs are for Survivor. You get to drink water on The Amazing Race.
Sometimes. Okay. This is from Nick Sonis. How did hashtag bad mother boy arrive at the mat behind the hashtag rooster teeth? Sherry landed first by several minutes. That's what we're talking about. We don't know how that happened.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe. It's a mystery.
I don't know. Maybe like, was there something else that had to do with heights where Sherry and Cole had to go like really slow?
Yeah, maybe they had to climb a ladder to get to the statue.
Climb down a ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Irina wants to know, what did you think about the tasks on this leg? It seemed to be very little skill involved in everything, and the teams pretty much finished in order in which they left, which was determined by their running abilities in the last leg.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty fair point, except there was a lot more mixing up than you would think.
Yeah. Can I also say that I thought these tests looked pretty hard to me. You know, I'm not going to sit here and nitpick. Like, I think, you know, I think my Fitbit would have been jumping, I think, at that point.
Yeah, you did see it was physically very taxing for a lot of people. Although I don't honestly think that someone who was a super athlete was going to get miles ahead of a team that was a little bit in, you know, average shape. Because it did look like everything was doable. It was just hard.
Mm-hmm. I think it tested your nerve a bit.
It did. And there was only really one skill-based thing, which was the tent building thing, which you could skip.
Okay. Let's go to Glitz wants to know, this will be the Emmy-nominated episode. Beautifully, stunningly shot with a cohesive story. Jess, should The Amazing Race submit this episode for an Emmy?
If this is the one, if we can only choose from what we've already seen, then yeah, this seems like the Emmy one.
Should this episode recap be submitted for a podcast award?
Always. Okay. Although it might not be fair to the other podcasts.
Yes. Wow. This tonight's recap, you think this is our, this should be our submission episode?
Sure. Sure. Well, Rob, it's really hard to choose because all of our recaps are my favorite.
Okay. Well, yeah, you're like Phil.
I'm like Phil.
Okay, this is from Sammy Zip. Apparently, Team Rooster Teeth had to blow up two air mattresses on top of a mountain, which has very thin air. Wow, Jess, did you know this?
Yeah, those air mattresses are not easy to blow up either.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I had to blow up an inner tube earlier today, and I had to take a break, and I was not on top of a mountain. It took me a long time, and it was not that big of an inner tube. It's a very, very time consuming process.
Yeah, that sounds pretty rough, Rob. You have a, I hope like Phil gave you a trip for finishing that.
No, I did not. Yeah. Okay. Nick Sonus wants to know, awesome episode redemption for last week. Did that look like Wile E. Coyote Dynamite to anybody else? Hashtag I love you all.
It kind of did.
Yeah. But that was pretty intense though. They have to throw dynamite off a mountain to cause a man-made avalanche.
Yeah, I really wanted every single thing they worked with this week to have Acme stamped on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, Acme tent in a box.
Yeah.
Acme paragliding kit. Acme dynamite.
Did you even know that was a thing, Jess, that they have to throw dynamite off the mountains?
Well, I knew that there was some amount of strategy in, like, placing your avalanches, because that's, I think, one of the reasons, like, people in Bavaria yodel, I think, for the same reason. Like, you need to keep your avalanches under control, because if you have too much snow and you have a big avalanche, you could kill somebody. So it's better to know where and when the snow is falling.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever yodeled, Jess?
No, okay. I've never yodeled.
Okay. Have you ever worked
sometimes with dynamite? Sometimes I've sung along with, like, the cliffhanger song on The Price is Right, but that's the closest I've come. And no, I've never worked with dynamite.
Okay, Jeremiah Panhorst, the great Jeremiah Panhorst wants to know, did you know that Yetis are real?
I did not know that Yetis are real. I'm not sure I believe that.
Yeah, well,
is it like a Tasmanian devil situation? Pretty cool.
This is from DB, who wants to know, one of the most beautiful legs. Really loved it. Thought it was the first time seeing that kind of suspense. Did you guys like that, Ashley versus Aaron? I loved it. Thought that was very exciting.
Yeah, I loved it too. Yeah, fantastic.
Okay, let's take a couple more questions. This is from Adam555. Was the water slide shown in the montage of what's to come? Is that the same one as in season 15? Throwback challenge coming, Jess?
Could be.
Okay.
But that's not a very good throwback challenge.
Why?
Because I've been on that water slide. Well, not that exact one, but they have two outposts. I've been on the other one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard. Only someone with, like, a deep neurosis would have a problem with that water slide.
Does either Sherry or Cole have a fear of water slides?
I think Sherry and Cole probably love water slides.
They are fun.
They look like fun people, and fun people are all about the water slide.
Okay. Mr. Aerosonic says this was a pretty great episode. Love the battle between the final three teams.
Yep, I did too.
It's a great finish. Better than last week's finish.
Definitely better than last week's finish.
Okay. Let's do one last question. Let's see. You got one more, Scott? Let's see. We'll give it a second to see if we have any more questions. Let me play for you. We had one out of context inappropriate quote from tonight.
Excellent.
I'm not sure who this was. I think it was the Frisbee Bros. Here was something. I thought this was inappropriate.
Here, grab mine. I'll grab yours. Okay.
Yeah.
I also liked when Brody was trying to take off in the paraglider, and they're running and running, and he takes a face plant, and the guy's on top of him, and he yells, "Are we doing it?"
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, with most things in life, if you have to ask if you're doing it, you're probably not.
Probably not. That's fair. That's fair. Okay. Jess, fun times tonight.
Very fun times.
No recaps of The Amazing Race now for 21 days.
No, but I will try to get in touch with, there's a couple of ex-racers I've been talking about doing something with, so maybe we'll have some Amazing Race content to tide you guys over during the break.
Okay, well, you're going to want to make sure you follow Jessica Lease on Twitter to know what is going on there. She is at Haymaker Hattie. I'm at Rob Cesternino. Jess, what's the hashtag tonight?
Dynamite Sandwich.
Dynamite Sandwich, okay. Is that like with hot sauce? They have some sriracha?
Or maybe it's just a really, really tasty sandwich.
Yeah, it's not like chupacabra.
This sandwich is dynamite. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Dynamite sandwich. That's your hashtag. Of course, you could catch Jessica on the Survivor voicemails this week on our Survivor podcast here on Rob is a Podcast. You can see that on robisawebsite.com or by subscribing to the podcast. Go to robisawebsite.com/iTunes or search for RHAP. In your favorite podcatcher. I will be with interviewing Team Clever this week on the Exit Interview podcast. Look for that early next week. If you want to hear my interview with Brittany, which I thought was a fun interview, you can check that out as well on robiswebsite.com. Jess, anything else?
I think we've pretty much covered it.
All right. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre pulling all the strings behind the scenes tonight. Really appreciate you guys checking out the show. Looking forward to reading your comments on robiswebsite.com and on our YouTube channel. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye.